It's the Book of the Week.
And it's that time of the week again. Yes, it's time for Portsmouth Authors Collective Book Club with myself, Laurie Westron, and our guest author this week, who is Vicky Fox. And Vicky has spent 12 years in Amdram Theatre at the Station Theatre, Hailing Island. She's written two pantos that were performed at the theatre. As a result, storytelling has become her favourite medium, and entertainment is the objective. Her fiction is generally set in a historical time and occasionally a real place. Welcome to Victory, Vicky.
Oh, good morning.
That's not so easy to say, is it? Welcome to Victory, Vicky. Yeah, good morning to you. Thanks for coming in. Your book, Fallen Angels, Alchemy of Artifice. Do you want to just say a little bit about it? Give us some blurb.
Yeah, it's a bit of a cryptic title. Fallen Angels, Alchemy or Artifice, is a story that starts in Portsmouth in 1848 and is told from the point of view of an artist who encounters the illusion of theatre with the addition of something magical. The hero is Robert McKinley. He falls in love with an actress from the travelling company and is also drawn to protect a young housemaid whose mother dies of cholera. There were lots of cholera outbreaks at that time, leaving this young girl vulnerable to the world of vice. She's of mixed race. Her father was a Lascar sailor from Bengal, killed at sea, and her mother was a captain's daughter who was disowned by her family after marrying a Bengal sailor. Despite his best efforts, she disappears at the same time as he leaves to join members of the Pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood, the artist community. Now, in a country house near Guildford, the painters set up and they attempt to idealise the simplicity of medieval art. At the same time, the railway is spreading through the ancient landscape and the Industrial Revolution is changing the life of people that live in this country. But humans are not the only creatures caught in the web of technology. Other creatures have lived in this realm as long as we have. You might call them lords of the old order. They live under and over hills. They possess magic and longevity in harmony with nature. McKinley has to battle an alliance of men and these creatures as he follows their trail to ancient places of mystery and legend, culminating in a final bloody battle, trying to retrieve the two women that he loves.
Well, that's more than a concise description of your book. Quite thrilling to start with, I've got to say, and one of those introductions that makes you think, maybe I need to get a hold of this book. But what prompted you to start writing?
Well, I'm a new writer, really. I started writing in lockdown. The theatre, I was chairman of the Hailing Island Amateur Dramatic Society, and in lockdown we had to close the theatre, so there wasn't very much to do.
Yeah, there was a lot of lot of problems in those days, wasn't there?
There
and
was.
We say in those days, it's now 4 years ago, more.
Yeah, but it seems like a long time ago, actually.
It really does.
So I wrote a play with the view of putting it on when we were able to open, and people said, well, it's a good story, why don't you make it into a novel? So I just pushed ahead and spent the rest of that year making my play into a novel, and I published it myself on Amazon, on Kindle, in 2021, and then just carried on writing from there. So I've got three books out at the moment.
Oh, well done. You're obviously enjoying it.
I love it. It's another world. You enter another world. And
yeah. So it's interesting, isn't it? We were talking off air a little earlier, and I said, I haven't read a lot of your books. So, and you said, funny enough, I have to go and review it myself occasionally.
Yeah, I sometimes forget the names of the characters, which is a bit sad, really.
Wow, and understandable. If you're then into another, you know, another project.
Yeah, another project, another time zone as well. And what I really enjoy is researching the history, because you find out so many things that have happened in the past and you think, how did we recover from that? And, you know, I like to write entertaining fiction because if you read the newspapers, it is all doom and gloom, and sometimes you just need to be cheered up and taken off on an adventure somewhere.
Yeah. Oh, you feel like an adult writer to me, but and why write about fairies, and isn't that a subject for children and fairy stories?
Well, the original fairy stories were really quite gruesome and horrific. So they weren't really just for children. Don't forget, in those days, children were not treated as separate human beings from the rest of society. If you look at sort of 1800, say, when the Grimm brothers were writing their stories, most people couldn't read, so a lot of the stories were word of mouth, so you had to just orally relate them. So they were teaching everybody about good and bad and the dangers of going into the wild wood. Now, if you're like me, a person who doesn't like to tempt fate, so you say something and then you touch wood, what you're doing is referring to the old pagan times when things were outside of your control. And this time of 1848 is important because it's where the world was changing from an agrarian agricultural community into an industrial one where you have more control over your life. So you go from being a farmer or a farm labourer. You don't know where your next meal is coming from. Will you survive the winter? You know, the reason we have Halloween and dark things happening in November is because people used to kill the animals then because they couldn't keep them over the winter. They used to salt the meat and then they'd keep it through until hopefully spring arrives again and the solstice, and that's what the old life was like, and this is a big change, 1848.
And has this all come out of the research that you have done?
Yeah, everything I read gives me more information. My view is, no, it's not really my view, but the story about fairies is that they existed in an agrarian society, so they were gods of the things we couldn't control. That's why we touch wood.
I see. Superstitions.
Yeah.
So why the title Fallen Angels?
Well, people didn't know what fairies were, and some people thought that they were angels that had fallen to earth and decided not to go back to heaven because they have a quality of magic about them. They are the old gods, really. They're the gods of Wicca and the pagan realm, if you like.
Right. That's so. Obviously, it's set in the past. What was your reasoning for that?
Well, my first book is set in the present, and it's a ghost story. There aren't any fairies in it. But it's told from the point of view from journals of an archaeologist who was excavating a church in 1847 and 1848. And I got to like those characters so much that I decided to give them a life of their own and a story of their own.
That's really sweet. I like that. So how does this book fit in? Because you've got three books out, haven't you?
I have got three.
So how does this fit into the trilogy that started with Opened Ground?
Well, the third book is bringing it back to the present more because it's set in 1940 and it's the story of a land girl who is recruited into a special auxiliary unit because the fairy realm, the grey folk, have offered to help Winston Churchill's secret army fighting the Germans when they invade, as they were expected to do in 1940.
You did mention that the books are available on Amazon Kindle. Yeah. Is there a hard copy?
Yeah, they're on Amazon. You can order a paperback copy, which will be sent to you. Or you can attend one of Portsmouth Authors Collective's stalls, market stalls, and buy a hard copy there.
Yeah. Do you? How long have you been involved with PAC?
Actually, I'm a newbie. I've only been involved for about 6 months.
So, and you're still there, so you're obviously seeing Portsmouth Authors Collective as a useful organisation.
It's marvellous. It does all sorts of things. It runs workshops and opportunities to meet other authors and find out what they're doing to publicise their books and develop yourself as an author.
Yeah, and I think it is fabulous that you do all get together and share ideas, and it's not all about, I want to sell more books than you. It's not like that, is it?
It's not like that. I mean, you know, publishing is, we're mostly self-published, but publishing is a business. And if you are sort of committed and writing something you're really enthusiastic about, you don't want an editor to trim it and cut it and make it into a little bonsai plant, which is which is what the genre requires, because they're selling in genres. You want to write your story, basically.
Yeah, I guess that must be difficult for all, certainly new authors, the fact that your publisher could not so much tear it apart, but put their take on it, and effectively, I wouldn't say rewrite your book, but have an influence on it for no credit, and it looks like it's all your credit still.
Well, they do. I mean, you know, I used to be an accountant, I know what it's like. It's all about the figure on the bottom line. You're going to go for the low-hanging fruit, and well-known people who become authors, no doubt with a ghostwriter, because, you know, you're an ordinary person walking along a bookshelf and you see a name you recognise, you're going to buy that book rather than somebody you don't know.
Yeah, I think getting shelf space for local authors has historically been difficult, but with Portsmouth Authors Collective and Laurie, it seems that she's opened that door with all of the local shops.
Yeah, and you can attend a book fair or a market. You can pick up a book, open it up and have a read and see whether you fancy it.
Get a taste of it.
Yeah.
So did you go to the market at the weekend?
The market is the first one I've missed, actually, but I was at the Aspects Gallery book fair the previous
week. That was another successful one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic. There was such a buzz.
It must give you a great buzz to meet your readers, as it is for the reader to meet the author.
Yes, absolutely,
so,
yes.
Good fun. So, Vicky, often there's a taster option. What taster options have you got for your book?
Well, you can go onto Amazon, you can look up Fallen Angels, Vicky Fox, and you'll see the picture of a pretty young girl and a pink cover. And you can actually download a little bit of the book, read it, and just decide whether you fancy reading the rest.
Brilliant. Well done. Thank you so much for coming in. This will become a podcast, and your book will be shown in the podcast, and hopefully get that on YouTube very quickly.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Bob.
Thank you for coming in. Always a pleasure to have local authors in, and I think Vicky was very special. There's lots to talk about. I'm looking forward to talking with Laurie Westron after this song, and I'm hoping to be posing a question to her about procrastination if I get round to it. And back in the room, I've got Laurie with me from Portsmouth Authors Collective. Laurie, how are you doing?
Great, Bob. I'm doing great.
You've got a big smile on your face. You've just come back from that Christmas fair over the weekend.
Yes, yeah, down at Portsmouth Historic Dockyards. It was great. We had a wonderful weekend. Lots and lots of people. You know, it was very stormy over the weekend, wasn't it?
And absolutely.
We were a bit worried whether anyone would show up, you know, and brave the weather.
And they showed up in droves.
They did, absolutely. And, so the whole place was packed the entire weekend.
I understand you got to meet Steve Pitt.
Yes. He dropped by the stand and he's very supportive of literature.
All the arts.
Yep. And next year is the year of literacy and literature, or it might be the year of literature and literacy, one way or the other. So I think we're all kind of working together to, you know, pull off some big plans for next year.
That's brilliant. I know you've got some big plans for PAC, and I hope they come. And we can't talk about them because they're all, it's an embryo at the moment, so we won't
say anything.
That's right,
yes.
Yeah, we'll keep it quiet. But so, yeah, I've set the scene now for everybody to want to know, haven't I? It's interesting that these markets you're doing are getting better and better.
Absolutely, you know, and every time we have a market now, people come up and say, oh, I bought your books at such and such market. And, so we're getting our faces known and PAC known. And that's great because people now know that there are lots of folks writing in Portsmouth, lots of people publishing books,
and the word is undoubtedly getting out. I think we're week 68 of this book club.
Yep.
However, PAC's been going longer than the book club, and those few years that you have been around, the word is definitely getting out.
Yeah, and that's really nice, to hear those people saying that they've come to us deliberately because they want to support local authors.
Which is brilliant. And I think Portsmouth has always been good for this. It's a very loyal city in terms of its population with its local arts. Mm. Always has been.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Yeah.
So, Laurie, what should we talk about? We've got various topics that we've talked about over the last year or so. Mm-hmm. I was thinking maybe we could go over procrastination once again.
Oh, I think we should do that next week, Bob.
I knew you were going to do that. Well done. Well done. Isn't procrastination just another word for a lack of motivation?
No, I wouldn't say that it is. I think sometimes it looks like that, you know, when people are putting their work off or putting things off, it looks like they're not motivated. But I think what it is oftentimes is the opposite, that they're very motivated, and people who procrastinate are often very high achieving. But they're also very often perfectionists and full of anxiety. And, and I know that, you know, from my own experience, I know that when I'm writing, when I have a story in my head, it's perfect. You know, it's fully formed. It's perfect. But as soon as I start writing,
Well, I think the imagination gets in the way and it takes you somewhere else as well.
Yeah, and that's right. And I think transferring that story that's in your imagination into words...
On a piece of paper
is a real challenge. And often, once you start doing that, you realize... Oh, hold on a second. This isn't as good as I thought it was.
It's not as good as it was in my head.
Exactly, which probably means
you haven't transcribed it as well as you'd like.
But nobody ever does. And this is what we need to tell ourselves, is that you know, the you can't perfect a story until you've got it down on paper in that first draft. And that first draft might be total rubbish. But that's okay, and we need to accept that that's okay. But I think that is part of the issue with procrastination, is that we want it to be perfect, and so we're afraid to take that first step of getting it down.
And then I guess you've taken that first step, and then you can procrastinate about the first edit.
Oh, yes. Different people like different things. So there are the people that have the real kind of that creative, just that creative flow all the time. And they're just constantly creating. And that's amazing. Sometimes those people aren't the best at going back and editing, you know, which is, as we've discussed before, is absolutely essential. And nobody else can do it for you. It's something you've got to knuckle down and do yourself.
It is one of the things. In fact, it's probably the main thing that I enjoy when I write something is editing, making it better,
making it more
concise,
yes,
and being more proud of what you put on paper.
Absolutely. And just making it, you know, adding depth, adding layers, making it, you know, stronger, punchier, more vivid, you know, all of those things. That's what editing is about.
Whilst also leaving room for the reader's imagination as well.
Oh, yes, because you can't tell the reader too much. You have to leave those gaps that the reader then can
fill in.
Mm. And that's, for me, is part of the enjoyment. I don't want to be told every single little detail, because then that takes away my own imagination. You know, I think reading should be a two-way street, that you need to involve the reader's intelligence and their own imagination.
You did that really well in Missing Words. I remember reading that, and when you were cycling through the Isle of Wight and by the cliffs, and you just put enough in to give me a full vision of what you were doing.
Oh, great. Thank you. And I think with the plot as well, that, you know, you leave those little, you drip feed information, I think. By the end of the story, you know, the reader can put two and two together, and they can make five, or they can make six, or whatever.
Which, again, as we said, is using their own imagination.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Laurie, I must stop you there, because I want to play a song, and I think this is very, very appropriate for what we've been talking about. It's Amy Winehouse and Procrastination. We'll be back with Laurie just after this. So, not necessarily is procrastination laziness.
Exactly. It's going back to that connection that it often has with anxiety.
Yeah, I think in my own case, it's a case, I mean, I do procrastinate And I think I would say most people that do are probably busy people. I think that's a part of it. Yeah. And the other is, I'm not in the zone yet.
Yeah, well, yes. Sometimes you have to make yourself be in the zone. And I think often procrastinators are busy people because we create activities to keep us from doing the work that we really need to do.
The excuse, yeah.
And having some things that we're needing to do, which maybe aren't as important as the thing that we really need to do.
You know, it's a funny thing because anxiety, we live in a very busy world, and I think anxiety affects more people today than ever it did.
Yeah.
And certainly since lockdown, that's the case.
Yeah.
And I get very anxious because I don't like to say I'm a perfectionist, but I think there is a bit of that in my character. Mm-hmm. I like to get things as right as I can.
Of course.
And I accept that nothing's perfect.
I think that, you know, when you care about your work, you do want it to be the best that it can be.
Yeah. And I think, so what I'm getting at there is procrastination for me is a case of I'm not ready yet to mm-hmm. do that. But I also look at my schedule and think, I have to get ready. I've got everything has a timeline.
Yep. And that's it. That, you know, so there are strategies to help overcome procrastination. And, you know, I talk about this a lot with my students. And, you know, some of the strategies are just about prioritization. And if whatever it is that you're putting off until tomorrow is top priority, then it's about, I think, managing your time, making a space in your time. So, yeah, we're all busy, but if you actually look at what you're doing each day, you can find those little periods of time throughout the day when you do have that space to work on your project. And so I try and help students find those pieces of time. So it might be an hour or 2 hours, or it might be 15 minutes. Okay, well, what can you do in that 15 minutes that will take you that one little step closer to where you want to be? Dividing up your work into different tasks. Okay, this is the, you know, the big goal that I want to do. So with a writer, it might be, okay, today I want to finish chapter 5, let's say. Okay, well,
goals are important for everything.
Absolutely. Okay, so what do I need to do in order to complete chapter 5? Do I need to do any research? Oh, and that's another rabbit hole, because research can go on forever and can itself be a procrastination activity. But what specifically do you need to find out about? And then be disciplined and, you know, stop once you've got the information you need. Or what a lot of writers do is they will leave a gap when they're writing and they will go back to find out, that little bit of information that they're missing there.
And fill that hole.
So it's about kind of having small targets, small goals that you can achieve throughout the day. And by doing that, you're building on your own success. You can see that you've accomplished 1, 2, 3 goals during that day. Ah, don't I feel good about myself? I'm going to go and do the extra bit, you know? So it is about finding ways to make yourself feel like you can do this.
Yeah, absolutely, Laurie. I just need to say we are running out of time. I talked a lot about procrastination. I think I could sum it up quite briefly. I think I could. In so much as procrastination can cause you anxiety, doing the job removes the anxiety.
Absolutely, because, you know, I never feel so good as when I've had a good day of writing, and it's just like, you know, I've won the lottery.
Absolutely. Let's just talk quickly about anything you've got coming up in PAC over the next couple of weeks before Christmas.
Yep. So on the 7th and 8th of December, we are going to be back in Leon Solent Leon the Solent, I should say, at St. Faith's Christmas Festival. And we were there last year, and it's fantastic. The whole church is decorated with dozens of Christmas trees. So it's just a really special place. And so that's going to be great. And there's a really good market that goes alongside that as well. And so we're going to be there from 11 o'clock until 7 p.m.
I know, you said it's a long day.
On Saturday and Sunday. Yeah, it's going to be a long weekend, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, I think, you know, power to your elbow, because it seems that the more markets and fairs that you're doing, the bigger PAX becoming, yeah. Or rather the sellability of books.
Yeah, and you know, I think anything that, you know, captures people's imagination and gets them on board. And, you know, we can demonstrate that, yeah, over the last 2.5 years that we've been doing this, we've sold a lot of books.
I couldn't imagine how many, and I'm really chuffed for you and for all of your authors, because everyone that comes in, as Vicky said earlier, I said, how long have you been involved? Well, I'm quite a newbie, she said, but it's amazing. It's brilliant what everybody does, and the fact that we can all get together and talk about writing.
Yeah, and I think that's really important. It is about that community spirit. It gives people encouragement and you know, sharing our experiences, I think is really valuable.
Absolutely. And I think sharing experiences and benefiting from other people's experiences, there's no substitute. There is no substitute for experience. And with that, we have to go, because we're way over time. Lovely having you in, as always. I look forward to seeing you next week.
Great. I look forward to it, Bob.
Take care.
Bye.